Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. Hey, it's really good to be with you again. And go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. We'd love to have a chat with you. We'd love to be in connection with you. We've got an e-news that goes out every few weeks, and you can subscribe to that. And that'll be really cool. I'll tell you what, you're going to love my special guest today, Pam Tierney. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Fantastic.
Pleasure to be here.
It's taken me a while to get you. I tell you what, I heard you share a testimony recently, and I tell you what, you're a busy lady.
Yes, I have been. I guess I still am in retirement. I am. I'm very busy when I think about it.
I mean, you're probably more active than most.
Well, perhaps, but I always have been one looking to live. Live the moment.
And probably more recently, I've connected with you, and we've got a little work in town at Seoul, and every now and then you pop into church. And
I love Seoul. I just love Seoul. We moved to Newcastle East 7 years ago, and I walked past Westpac Bank, and I read all of the literature in the window about Seoul, and the thing that jumped out at me was, the people are guests. We call them guests. And I thought, wow, this is the place for me. I initially joined up at Seoul through Alexa, and she had a small prayer group going. She was the first person to speak to me when I went along one time to Life Church. And she said, oh, yes, we have a women's group going. And I said, oh. So I popped along to that and ended up staying in that. It was good. You know, weekly groups, any groups, Christian groups, soulful groups, that's what helps you grow. The Sunday service is nice, it fills you a bit, but the small groups is where you grow. That's my firm belief, strong belief.
I mean, what's really cool that I've learnt a little bit about you is your desire just to keep learning and growing and reading scriptures and diving deep into those things.
Well, there's so much around now on the net and the web where, you know, you could spend your day, and so you've got to be discerning, I think.
Mm.
But one thing I did in recent times was complete a 4-year course in spiritual direction, and that was run by the Uniting and Catholic Church together. Excellent, excellent program run by Nerida and Malcolm Drake from Uniting Church.
Mm.
And but I don't think I was cut out to be a director. I don't think I was good enough to be a director, but I said I would like to graduate as a spiritual companion. I felt more comfortable with that.
I imagine you have done many, many things through your life, and you and constantly you've said, I don't think I was cut out for this, but you just did it anyway.
Well, I learnt that spiritual direction is about helping you or whoever find what God is saying to them, not me saying, this is what I think you should do.
Mm.
And I have a bit of the dictator in me, a little bit, you know. You jump up and down and say, God, if you only do this, if you only do that, you'll be okay. So
we've probably all got a bit of that.
Well, to pull back and to just listen, that's what it did teach me. Listen to that person. And so I find I go to Seoul and boom, they're telling you the story of their life.
Yeah.
So that affirms you are meant to be a listener, and you're listening there in the capacity of the Spirit of God, you know. With great reverence, really.
Yeah, our ability to be curious, to ask questions.
I'm a bit curious.
is really, really important in that listening, learning to listen.
Yes.
And ask questions rather than take over
a
conversation.
Well, it's useless to take over. I mean, there's lots of listening skills around you, quiet this one or that one, but never the whole lot at once.
How long have you married John Tierney? What, youngest lecturer in the state?
Yes, he was at 22.
22, he was lecturing people his own age.
Virtually, and I used to think about those young, attractive girls at the teacher's college. But he would say, Pam, I do not even see them. I thought, well, that's good.
and then became a senator in the New South Wales government, Liberal Party.
Yes, yeah, federal senator he was.
How long have you guys been married now?
Oh, 54 years, I think.
54 years.
That's old, hey?
Well, I mean, it's... Well, I think I'm 54.
We made that vow, and I remember the night when he actually got into the Senate. I mean, I never thought it would happen. I just went along supporting him. When it actually happened, I went into shock. And he went in on a by-election, so he had 2 weeks. He won, and then the next day he had to go. So he's packing the bags. But that night in bed... you know, I woke up with tears rolling down my face the next morning, but we just held each other and, you know, prayed that in our loneliness we would draw closer to Jesus, and that did sustain us, you know. He was very lonely, but he was felt he was doing what was right, and I was very lonely, but distracted by having all of those children to raise.
How many children did you have
six.
Together?
We have six. I wouldn't marry him unless he agreed to that. And people would think, oh, what a Catholic, yeah, six children. And when in my 30s, I recognised it had nothing to do with being Catholic. It had to do with meeting emotional need deep within me. As my father died when I was 11, and it left such a gap in us, and all sorts of things happened, and I just wanted to replace that love. And my sister had seven children, and I think it was
were you conscious of that when
not at all, not conscious. You don't get conscious of much till you mature, I think,
you know. What age do you start what age do you mature?
Well, I think in the 30s you start to get a bit of sense, a bit more common sense, and take more responsibility for things and take more ownership of what you have to do for your life.
Yeah. You probably had half a dozen kids by then.
Yeah, I had the last one at 37. There you go.
Hey, if you just joined us, it's Rick Prosser here at Kingdom Works. My special guest today is Pam Tierney. Pam, you just talked a little bit about when John was elected.
Yeah.
And loneliness, and then you had that void in your life.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Raised as a Catholic, raised as a disciplined person in faith
until I left it when I was 17,
and then this void of loneliness
really
kicked in and set in. What was it that pulled you through that
when John was in the Senate, or
when you discovered when you were spiritually lonely in your 20s?
In my 20s, when 27, we moved to Wagga. I just had the third child. She was moved to Newcastle, sorry, back from Wagga. We had the third child. She was 6 weeks old, and I was really aching to know, aching. I had this lovely little baby, great husband, two little kids, a new, brand new brick house, government, you know. And so I just prayed, and I saw a little ad in the newspaper, Sydney newspaper, about a prayer meeting at Mayfield Monastery. I thought, oh, I'm going. So John took me. He sat in the car with a little baby and two kids, and I went in. I said, I'll just check it out, John. I'll just check it out. So I went in there. Fantastic gospel singing in this cellar under the Mayfield Monastery. They had a cellar. So it had a lot of atmosphere with all these vines around, great musicians playing gospel songs, and I was mesmerized. And at the end, they said, anyone who would like prayer, come to the centre. So how'd I go? And Leonie Watkins, a Pentecostal person, they were helping the Charismatic Renewal. And she said, what do you want me to pray for, sister? And I didn't even know what to say. I just said, oh, more faith, I guess. So she starts to pray, and I start to cry. And the more she prayed, the harder I cried, until I just put my arms around her. I felt I'd come home to the Father. And I had, you know. And then she went on to pray for other people, and I'm just standing in the middle of the floor, dumb.
John's still in the car with the kids.
He came in the car. He comes in to find me with his baby in his arms, and he says, Pam. I said, what? I couldn't speak.
Really?
So we went home, and that was the point of conversion.
Yeah, so you would describe that point as an encounter with the living God, and that's when full conversion for you. Everything moved into that moment as a catalytic moment. It's a new day.
Yeah, and I knew nothing about the charismatic renewal. Nothing. I hadn't heard about speaking in tongues. Shiver went up my spine when I watched this. And nothing. And there I am, warm, full-blown Christian in a meeting. Well, that's how it felt. Of course, it takes a long time, I think, to grow as a Christian.
But there was this explosion of life.
Yeah, explosion of life is a great description. I went home and I searched the house for a Bible. I just had to read a Bible. I found one, a King James Version, and I read for 3 hours straight that night.
Wow.
And not long afterwards, you know, the Holy Spirit began to help me because I was like that infant that has to be fed milk, you know. So I had a lot of sort of instruction, I guess.
Yeah, and that was one of the big effects that it had in life is this big thirst for the scriptures.
Oh, like, yes.
Just like devouring that thing.
And that's what happens to people in the charismatic renewal. They really get a thirst for the Word of God because with all the love and teaching I've had from the Catholic Church, that you could access the Bible yourself and learn and grow from it is you know, wasn't as encouraged, I suppose. Not discouraged, but...
Well, it was news. It was good news.
Yeah, it was good news.
It's interesting, you know, for our listeners, just before we tap record on this, Pam says, oh, Rick, you know I'm Catholic, and oh, yeah, so what? And she, does it matter if I say that? Oh, you say what you want. And I said, I don't even know you as a Catholic. I just know you as someone who loves the Lord.
Yeah, and that's really reassuring for me because, you know, well, John and I are an ecumenical couple. He's Anglican, I'm Catholic. And that, back in the day, was called a mixed marriage. So I'm mixed all right. But anyway, so I honoured his beliefs, he honoured mine, but it's said, and I think it's true, go the way of the one with the strongest belief, whichever it is, husband or wife, go that way. And I had the stronger because I had this conversion first before he did. He got it a year later, though. It was good. And
he got sick of waiting in the car for those outside meetings.
He did. So the kids became part of it all too, as it does. Yeah.
Pam, I mean, I come across you every now and again, but you're always, there's this spark of life, and this catalytic moment happened when you were 27.
Yeah.
And now you a few years down the track.
Just a few.
But it's still there. What's helped you to foster that? What have you done in your day-to-day life to develop that relationship with the Lord?
Well, I went to my local Catholic priest because I didn't know what to do, really, what you do with this life. And I said, okay, here I am, Father. What do I do now? And he said, He said, pray every morning. I do, and I did, and I've done it every morning, unless, you know, sky falls in or something. And it has sustained me through so much, really has, and brought me to deepening prayer, and given me light, a lot of light. And when I joined Docs, wow, did I need God's help then, and got it.
Because you've done a lot of things. I mean, Lifeline?
Yes, Lifeline. When I was at Docs, someone asked me to go on the board of Lifeline, and back then they got into financial trouble and the manager left and we were stuffed, really, and so we were stuffed. And one of the board members said, that's it. We're what's the word for when you're financially...
Oh, insolvent.
Insolvent. We're insolvent. Have to close up. I said, no. And I went down to Sydney and borrowed some money off the Lifeline people down there for 3 months' salary because we didn't even have 3 months ahead. And and then I just worked there on a voluntary basis for a while, or while I was doing the Docs work as well, until we got back on a bit of an even keel. But we had to sell the place we were in, and a lot of people said, no, we're not going to do that. It's our place. We won't do it. So I said, all right. So we rented it out. And then the Uniting Church, because I'd reconnected with them at that time. Lifeline began through Wesley Mission. And I reconnected and they gave us they gave me moral support. And so I began to pray one morning a week with some of the staff in the church next door, and that was helpful. But then I just ran around to different people I knew. And John, because I was married to a politician, it gave me a bit of kudos, and I didn't mind using that. Whatever works.
Well, I think I love your story, and we've only really, really touched on it, really, like not even skimmed the surface of it. But you know, whether people are raised in the church, in a denomination, you're Catholic, uniting, Baptist, Pentecost, doesn't really matter what it is, but have some elements of faith around you, your testimony speaks about an encounter with the living God.
Oh, well.
And it is so empowering for us that you, the scriptures say, seek and you'll find. And I just want to encourage our listeners today, seek Him. And for yourself, you discover the scriptures for yourself after an encounter with Him. And God is available for you personally here and today. And that's the good news that we're living with.
Well, that's right. I'm alive and well and living in faith and strong faith because of it, and prayer has increased in me so much, especially intercessory prayer. I guess as I'm older and a little bit wiser, I suppose, and more accepting, intercessory prayer has increased. And I was longing for someone to pray with regularly, with intercessory prayer only, that is, to listen to what God is asking you to pray and pray it. So I found a person who was looking for the same thing. Bang. We go over to a church where we're the only ones did it, and we pray every Wednesday morning for an hour. And last Wednesday, I was saying to the Spirit, what is it you would like us to pray for? Guess what? Strong and balanced leaders in the church. And I mean the church.
Beautiful.
Strong and balanced leadership.
Beautiful.
So that's my prayer.
Wonderful. Well, Pam, it's been so good having you on the program.
Oh, thank you. It's nice.
Hey, it's been great being with you again. Hey, go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a joy bringing these programs and special people like Pam to you. God bless each and every one of you. Bye for now.
Bye.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.